Chaver, it's a little bit bittersweet being back here together. Before we begin, just want to say tonight's shiur is being sponsored in Zelila Nishmas. Shlomo ben Ruvain, whose yahrzeit was earlier today, is being sponsored by Mordechai and Hadassah Bennett. It's Hadassah's grandfather's yahrzeit, Shlomo ben Ruvain. Mir Tashem, all the Torah should be a big schus for his neshama, all the chizik, all the Cyrus. Should be zeicher to be ma'il tzayisher for his beautiful mishpacha. Should only have simcha and only have bracha. Should be zeicher to be back together. Tzchias amesim bekar of mamish. So it's bittersweet. On one hand, it's special being back together. A lot of us weren't together last week. On the other hand, I was really deeply, deeply hoping and davening, as we all are, that last week's shir in Yerushalayim Erech Kodesh was the beginning of every single shir being in Yerushalayim Erech Kodesh, and not just a Ben Azmanim shir of Yerushalayim Erech Kodesh. But we're back. Kadosh Baruch Hu decided it's not the time yet to reveal Mashiach Tzidkenu. So we don't stop learning, and we don't stop growing, and we don't stop yearning for Mashiach. And Bez Hashem will be Bekarov, B'Yameinu, B'Mher, B'Yameinu. Or for this point on, Bez Hashem, hopefully, it will be the last year in Chutz La'aretz, and be Zayich and Mashiach, B'Mher, B'Yameinu. So it's a tremendous parasha, Parshas Yisro. A parasha of Kabbalah's HaTorah. What a tzchus it's going to be. It's mamish in the middle of the year having a shavuos. I don't know if we're going to stay up all night this little Shabbos Kodesh, but we're going to stand for sure in shul Shabbos morning and hear the Aseret Dibros and again be Mekabel Torah, which is something very, very special. We should use it to be Mechadish ourselves, to take the Zoras, to re-accept Torah, to reestablish a deep connection to Torah, to grow in our amelus b'Torah, in our shmirah of Torah. But you know, there's a chazal that's very strange. We have to understand. The chazal says, "Lo nimna Torah el dor she'oich leimon." That the Torah was only given to the generation that ate the man. Why was that so important? Why was it important that those who ate the man would be the ones from a Kabbal Torah? The man was our physical sustenance, okay, from heaven in a very, very special way. That was the prerequisite, that was the hakdama that was necessary for Kabbalah's Torah. Tell me, lo nina Torah el dar she toivel in the mikveh every single day, you know? That mamish spoken no lashon hara and had tremendous ben olam chayyur derech eretz kodmo la Torah. Lo nin the Torah al adar she'oich leman. We didn't even have a choice. What else were we going to eat? Really? That's significant. That's important. What's Chazal trying to teach us? So we've spoken about this before. I always thought Pshat was based on the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says in last week's parsha, when discussing the man, the parasha told us that the man was l'man and senu. It was a nisayon, it was a test. What was the test of the man? So Kli Yakar says so beautifully that when we were given the man, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of all the gashmias, all the physicality in our life, all the materialism. We didn't have to go to school, we didn't have to work. We woke up every morning, everything was there for us. You know what that does? It frees up our entire day. Now that our whole day is free, that's a big nisayon. What are we going to do with our time? Are we going to utilize that to serve Hashem, to learn Torah? When all I have during the day is 1-2 hours to learn Torah, I'll grab onto it. When I have all day long, my whole life, it's a big nisayon. The nisayon was to mamish concretize that time in a very special way, and use it to learn Torah in a very special way. So maybe that was Pshat. Lo nin the Torah l'dar shechleman, because the first dar, the first generation that would even accept the Torah, they were building a foundation for all future generations. They needed that time to sit and learn Torah and delve into Torah and connect to Torah to build the yisod for all future doros in limudat Torah. That could be pshat. But I want to suggest tonight something else. And it's an idea that I haven't stopped thinking about. You know, I had this chus last week to be in Eretz Yisrael, to be in Shulayim HaKadosh. You know, there's a lot that we gain when we go back to Eretz Yisrael. To be able to daven, to be able to be in the Koimis Kedoshim, just walking the streets of Eretz Yisrael, you feel different. And I think that's what we gain more than anything else. When one is in Eretz Yisrael, when one is in Yerushalayim HaKadosh specifically, when one is by Koisel Maravi, there's a sense of clarity. There's a oneness with Hashem that we just don't feel here in the same way. I'm not saying we can't feel it at times. Maybe on a Shabbos Kodesh. Maybe when we're sitting and learning. Maybe when we're davening. But stam all day long. Not in the same way. A certain clarity. An understanding of what my purpose is. An understanding that I'm walking with the Ribbono Shel Olam every single step. And a Yid needs that. A Yid needs to live with that. So let's discuss that a little bit. You know, if you look, go also back to last week's parasha when discussing the man, so we can understand what the idea is. Lo nin Torah el eichle man. So we know that the man was what we ate for all the time in the midbar, but then Moshe tells Aaron, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Kach sinsenes achas v'ten shema mole omer man v'anachos olivnei Hashem lemishmeret l'dorasechem. Moshe says, Aaron, he wants to take a portion of man, an omer of man, and put it in his sinsenes, some sort of jar. Rashi tells us the sleichus shocheres was an earthenware jar, and it's going to be l'mishmeres l'doroseich, and for all future generations to be watched over. And we know it went in Darin Kodesh for all future generations. Now that word sinsenes is a very, very strange word. I'm not sure if it comes out anywhere else in all Tanakh. The sinsenes. What is this sinsenes? Where does this word come from? So I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, Torah from Rav Eger, the Torah Semes. Mom, it's such a tremendous Torah. If you want to learn very beautiful Torah, beautiful Machshama.
It's your
test
this week.
It's your test this week? Of course it is. Everything's ashkacha. Ashkach. So Rebbe, he says, he gives maybe b'derech drush, what sinsenes come from? So he quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk in Yecheskel, lamed dalet lamed aleph. And the pasuk says, ve'etein tzoini, tzoin marisi adam atem. Hashem is speaking and says, ve'etein tzoini. He says, you are my sheep. Tzon marisi. Tzon marisi, the sheep of my pasture. Adam atam, you man are. So in this puzzle, we see the word tzoin is repeated. Right? It's unnecessary. He could have said, vaten tzoin marisi. Vaten tzoni tzoin marisi. So the label says, maybe tan sen es. San sen es. Is milashon tzoin tzoin. Tzantzenes is Milashon Tzoyin Tzoyin. Now that sounds very nice, but what does that mean? We have to understand what that means. So what does it mean that we're the Tzoyin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean that we're the sheep of the Ribbono Shel Olam? We're Tzoyin Marisi, the sheep of His pasture. You know what it means? As we say, Hashem Roi! Hashem is Moldav, Hashem Roi! Hashem is my shepherd. Where is sheep, meaning what? What is the relationship between a sheep and the shepherd? That's our relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to zone in on and be aware of when it comes to this sansenes of man that's going to be lishmeres l'dor haseichem for all generations to know. That's the connection to man. And what is that? When you're a sheep, everything's taken care of by your shepherd. The shepherd is the one who takes care of you. The shepherd is the one who provides for you. The shepherd is the one who makes sure you have what to eat, you have what to drink, you're protected by all the outside world, the wolves or whatever else that wants to come eat you. The shepherd is the one that's watching over you constantly, always, non-stop. That's what the shepherd does. I have a Talmud. Haven't been in touch with him in a bunch of years. But a few years ago, I visited him when he was learning in the Mir, and he just got married. So he got married. His father says, you're married, you need parnasa now. Now he wanted to sit and learn. And he did. He wanted to continue to sit and learn. But his father says, you need parnasa. So what's your parnasa going to be? This is true. You can't make this up. His father bought him a large flock of sheep. Never told this chaver. Listen, this emes. His father bought him a large flock of sheep, and they were out. The chesna she had I don't know if he owned or leased a makom where the sheep would be, somewhere. I don't know exactly where it was. Somewhere outside Yerushalayim. I don't know why. In my head, I'm thinking somewhere near the Maale Adumim area over there. That's what if I remember correctly, but I could be wrong in that. And he had his flock of sheep. And it's someone else that worked for him that was the shepherd of the sheep, that took care of the sheep. But he showed me, we're in the mirror, so he takes me outside the base medrash into like a corner somewhere. He didn't want people to see. You can't have a phone in the mirror, obviously. But he had a smartphone. Why do you have a smartphone? Obviously blocked, but he had on it because he had an app with video footage that zoned in, and any time he could watch his sheep. So Bein Asdarim, he'd watch the sheep and make sure everything was okay and be in touch. And when they fattened up the sheep and they sold the sheep, each sheep sold for a lot of money. It was mamish a big parnasa. He's telling me the numbers, incredible numbers, mamish. Unbelievable what he bought the sheep for and how much he sold the sheep for, like unbelievable. He was a shepherd, he owned sheep. That's what he did. That was his parnasa. But he had to take, he was showing me how he mamish, even from the mirror, he's watching over his sheep. He's watching over his sheep and making sure that the sheep were okay. And they had to watch out because the Chesnish Arabs would come and try to steal the sheep. You know, his mamish, real stuff, you know. So the sheep needs a shepherd to watch over the sheep, to provide for the sheep, to make sure the sheep has everything it needs, make sure it has shelter, make sure it has food, make sure it has everything that it needs in this world. Okay, then the shepherd's going to sell the sheep to be shechted. Okay, that's another story. We won't go there. We'll just take the first part of the mashal here. So you know what it means, Hashem Ro'i, Chevra? You know what it means, Hashem Ro'i? That we are the sheep, and the Eibishter's taking care of us. The Eibishter's providing for us. The Eibishter's giving us everything that we need. That everything that's best for us. And we have to believe this, we have to know it, even though sometimes it doesn't seem that way. And that's what the man was. The man was that representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Roi. I'm your shepherd, you're my sheep, I'm going to take care of you. And I'm going to give you everything that you need. You don't know, the sheep don't have to work for it. The sheep just are. They're just there, and Hashem is going to provide. And Hashem provides, and we know how the man worked. Every individual got a different amount, depending on the family, how many children, how big the family was. It was very subjective. Just like each and every one of us, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for each and every one of us in a different way, because there are different needs for each and every one of us, based on who we are, based on our character traits, based on our family life. Maybe that's what's being reminded of Sanseneshman. It had to be a Sanseneshman to remind us where the Tzoyin, and that's the Mishmeres L'Dor Seichem. That's the lesson of the Mon for all future generations. That's what each and every one of us needs to know. And if we understand Hashem Roi, then as we say in Mizmor L'Dov, Hashem Roi, Lo Echser. We also understand then, I'm lacking nothing. We realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us every single moment, and I'm lacking nothing. As we say as well, Mamish, about the man in Parshas Ekev, the pasuk in Parshas Ches, pasuk Gimel, Vayachilcha as a man asher lo yedata, I'm going to feed you the man that you didn't know and your forefather didn't know. Why? Why do we have the man? Just because we need physical sustenance. Our whole life is not just on that. That's mon was a symbolism of the Hashem is providing for us every moment. Our whole life existence is al pi Hashem. Everything we have is because of Hashem. It's the representation of that. That's what the mon is, and that's what's in Tzenis, which is Tzon, that we are the Tzoyin and Hashem Ra'i. Hashem is our shepherd. And we have to believe, therefore, I'm lo echzer, I'm lacking nothing. This is who I'm supposed to be, this is what Hashem is supposed to provide for. It doesn't mean, by the way, it doesn't mean that if there's more in life we want, we can't daven for it. Of course we can daven for it. And of course we should daven for it. And Amir Hashem, the feelings will be answered. But it means right now, what I have today is what I'm supposed to have and what's best for me. And I have to have a moon and be tachlin in that. And have his kashrus Hashem. Okay, through my tefillos, maybe tomorrow is going to bring different. And that's what Hashem wants from us. But that's what the man represents. And that's the sincenet, sign of the man, that's Ludori Seichem. That even though we don't have the man, we remember that lesson. That Hashem is by our side. Hashem is taking care of us every moment. And maybe that's Lonin the Torah El Eloich Liman, I want to suggest. Meaning what? That who's going to be Mekabel a Torah? Who's going to take upon themselves 613 mitzvos? Who's going to say, I'm going to be subservient to Hashem every moment of my life, in everything that I do? Only someone that feels so indebted to their Ribbono Shel Olam because knows that everything I have is from their Ribbono Shel Olam. Only someone who owes such hakaras hatov to their Ribbono Shel Olam because they know that my whole existence and all that I have is from the Eivishter. Only someone with that understanding of I'm the Tzoy and Hashem is Roi will be willing and wanting to say Anasa V'Nishma. And that's the foundation, that's the prerequisite. And to know that Hashem is taking care of us every moment, even when we don't see it in the moment. It's always Hashem. I'll tell you a very pashut story, but it just happened. Little things, they don't seem to go our way. It's all the Eibishter. And Hashem's always taking care of us, always watching out. So this chus, always have to share stories from Eretz Yisrael. You know, I'm working on finishing up Vayikra. As Kevin knows, I put out Sefer and Bereishis. So I finished for most already and almost finished Vayikra. But I decided I'm not going to go to publish till the end of all Chamishi Chamshei Torah. Mir Hashem. Maybe we'll finish in two more years by my daughter's bat mitzvah. We'll see if we could start moving things. Vayikra, I'm finishing for my second daughter's bat mitzvah. Leora's bat mitzvah is Chayadar, Mir Hashem. Bez Hashem, it's Baruch Adar. We're getting closer, we're getting closer. Mir Hashem, it's going to be big. Very big. So I find myself, the Chevra knows, the Sefer, it's a mamar in every parsha, and every parsha ends in a personal story. I'm going through, Ruba de Ruba's stories have something to do with Eretz Yisrael, or happened in Eretz Yisrael. That's where stories happen. That's where we're more, just Emes' stories are happening to us always, but our eyes are more open, we see with more clarity when we're in Eretz Yisrael. So the trip was incredible. Mamash and Meina and Haba. The nachas spending with Talmidim, Shabbos Kodesh, Shal Shudis was mamish. We ended about 2 hours after Shabbos. Mamish about two. Oh, after like regular Shabbos. I mean, what regular people? I mean, I should say regular people. You know, the earlier time that people on Shabbos. About 2 hours after that, it was incredible. It was mamish incredible. You know what it is to be Shal Shudis, mamish the kedusha, the leila of Shal Shudis, and overlooking Kaisel Maravi. We're singing, I turn around and look at Kaisel Maravi, I managed to start bowling. It was incredible. Mamish too special. The time with Sadiqim and Chevron and Kevarachal. Mamish spent about an hour with the Rebbe Shvili Pinchas, which was an incredible time. And with Rav Melech by the Kaisel Lal Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And Rav Itchemeyer had Tzichidus. Rav Itchemeyer was incredible. Big stuff, big stuff. Big yid in there, it's unbelievable. But one of the highlights was a very big schus. Usually, in the past many years, I'll leave Eretz Yisrael Matzei Shabbos Kodesh right after the Shal Shudis that night. But I had a Baruch Hashem, a very close Talmud, was making chasana on Sunday night. Meir Gavriel Cohen, got married Sunday night. Up north in Kibbutz Shva'im, I don't know even how you pronounce it, I don't know. Somewhere above North Herzliya over there. So it's a very special schus. I extended one extra day to be able to be by his chastana. Ended up also being able to be by a bas mitzvah of a close friend, Jonathan and Alana Austin, made a bas mitzvah, and it was in Ranana, very close to where the chastana was. It was unbelievable. Everything hashkacha, so I was able to get to that, to give a mazel tov also. Anyways, the chastana was beautiful, incredible. Meir Gavriel and Ahuva, they should be zoicha, build a bais Am Yisrael, mali simcha, mali bracha. So I was going to go, the plan was from the chastana, go straight to the airport. It's about half hour from the airport. The flight was 12:30, the chastana was called for 6:30, 7:30, chuppah. It was perfect, got to, right after the tants with the chasen, got the tants, beautiful tants with the chasen, able to go to the chastana. And there are a few other people at the chasana that were also going straight to the airport. So I gave a ride to a few people, Baruch Hashem, this chas. So there were a couple talmidot in the car. We get to the airport and we return the car. And we get there, we walk in, and we go over, you know, in Ben Gurion, you go over by Elal first, you go to the little computer to print out your boarding pass, and then get online for the luggage. So we print out, I print out my boarding pass, okay, get the boarding pass. And one of the young women who was with me, so she goes to the computer and she's putting in the thing, and she's putting in her, puts her passport, nothing. Puts her passport again, nothing. So I take it, I try to see, you know, maybe a chesnish, I don't know what I could do better, but I try, you know, it's always the other person has to try, that's just how it goes. And nothing, fine, I said, okay. So she started to get a little bit nervous. Now why'd she get nervous? This particular young woman wasn't supposed to go home originally on that flight. She had a different flight she was taking home originally for various reasons. And she ended up switching her flight to that flight. So she got a little nervous because maybe something went wrong. Maybe she's not on the flight. And then, who knows, the flight is full. Who knows what's going to be? Okay, so I said, don't worry, it's fine. This happens, it does happen all the time, where like the computer doesn't have it. We'll get to the... You know, when we get to the desk to give in the luggage, you'll see you'll be fine, don't worry. Okay, so we're standing in line and we go to the security, they have to ask all the standard questions, you know how it goes. And then, so I tell this young woman, you know, come, we'll go together. I don't want her to be nervous, and in case there are any issues, I'll help her out. I mean, again, I don't know what I could do, but at least, you know, I was calm at least, you know. But I said, we'll go together to the counter and check in together. And this way we'll make sure we'll take care of you, you know? So we go to the counter. And I give him my passport. She gives him her. Okay, fine. And I tell the woman, you know, it didn't work. Okay. She looks it up. No, they had her. Baruch Hashem, they had her in the flight. And because it was like a late switch, that's why she never had a set seat yet. They were going to give her a seat now. There weren't the greatest of seats left, but we tried. Got her whatever it was fine. She's on the flight. Okay. Lamaisa, this young woman's bag was like momish. I could hardly, I'll tell you something. I mean, not that I'm a strong guy, but like Baruch Hashem had wheels, you know? Baruch Hashem had wheels. To pick it up and put it on the Zach, forget about it. You know, we, the men, what do? When we travel, what do we need? We need the pants we're wearing. You know? Maybe, you know, your mother will tell you need a second pair of pants just in case. You need for a week, what, two shirts? Maybe you take a third just in case. And undergarments. What else do you need? We could go a week with one of the little pulleys that you don't even have to go underneath the car, underneath the plane, right? Let's be real. Okay, you need Shabbos clothing. That's a little catch. Outside of that, what else do you need? What else do you need? The women, it's a whole different story, you know, it's how they travel. Tzvi, you know what I'm talking about, Tzvi, right? Okay. The married guy could understand. Anyways, Lamaisa, I don't know, she was taking home rocks from the Kaisel, I don't know, it was mamish, you know. Overweight was an understatement. And she, Lamaisa, she knew it. She said on the way there, she had to pay the overweight, and they charge you, crap. I mean, they charge you $100 for the overweight, I think. $100 because you're a few pounds overweight. What's going to happen on the flight? what's going to happen. Obviously nothing, because they put it on the flag. So I don't know what the overweight does, but this is okay, another way. It's a way for them to make money. I put on my bag, and my bag is like underweight as could be. You know, like let's say you're allowed 50 pounds, it's maybe 20 pounds. I don't know, whatever. It's like, as I said, what is in there? Not much. A couple shirts and a couple undergarments. Mamish, that's the whole bag. Fine, so mine goes, and then I garner all my strength, you know, and I'm able to somehow pick hers up and put it down. And like, you know, the thing goes through the you see the numbers are just going boom, 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 all the way up. And the woman looks, and this woman was already, the young woman was already ready to pay for it. She knew, on the way there she paid already. Okay, it was just like, this was a given. The woman looks and says, before we even ask, I was about to ask, she says, okay, no problem, I can balance the two bags, and we're not going to charge you, it's fine. We're not going to charge you, it's fine. Now, by the way, I know personally, even being, now we have different last names. She knew we weren't like mamish together, if she looked at the last names like that. But more than that, I know there are times when like I've traveled to Mishpacha, and even under myself with two bags, they won't let you balance them. And they make you take out the things, and only if you could actually do it, and you're there sitting, and there's 100 people waiting, and you're moving the svarim from one bag to another, and taking them on your back, you know? Here, she looks at it, no problem, we'll just balance the two bags, you guys are fine. You don't have to pay anything. So later I realized, you hear this, Chavra? Lamaisa, only because her ticket wasn't in the computer, which made her a little bit nervous at the moment, made her a little bit nervous, but Lamaisa, only because it wasn't in the computer, that I ended up, otherwise I never would have checked in with her. I mean, she's my student, I love her, she's wonderful, but like, there would be no reason, like she's a big girl, I would let her check in by herself. The only reason I'm checking in, we weren't flying together, the only reason I'm checking in with her was to take care of her, make sure, because of what happened with the computer. And only because I checked in with her, did this woman say, no problem, saved her $100. Yer Chavra, the Eibishter is incredible. Every little thing that goes on is Yad Hashem. Every little thing that goes on is Ashkacha Pratis. Lo ninna Torah lo Eichle Mon. Eichle Mon is the representation and understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the Welt, is taking care of everything in our lives. And we have to have that amun and that bitachon. And that's when we'll dedicate ourselves to the Rabbanu Shalom. That's when I'll be makabel the Torah and say, I'm so indebted to Karstov. How can I not follow Torah mitzvahs? When I understand, when I don't understand, when it's ba'ava v'nas v'nishma, when it's be'ir of kapal markagigas, no matter what, I'm one with you, Hashem. Look how much you do for me, I'm not going to do for you. What's the Shiloh? What's the Shiloh? What's the very next pasuk? Listen, so Moshe tells, let's go back into these psukim of the Tzantzenes. Moshe tells Aaron, take this mon and put it into Tzantzenes. And the next pasuk says, Kasher tziva Hashem Moshe, just like Hashem commanded Moshe, Vayinicheu Aaron lefnei ages l'mishmeres. So Aaron placed the mon in the Tzantzenes before the ages for a safekeeping forever. We've seen, all of us have seen, many, many psukim in the Torah. Is that the way it's normally written? Kasher tziva Hashem Moshe v'yinicheu Aaron lefnei ages l'mishmeres. The order is reversed. It's okay, we're getting ready for Purim. Ben ha'apachu, right? Maybe. But l'maisa, usually it would have been written. How's the pasuk usually written? V'yinicheu Aaron lefnei ages l'mishmeres. Kasher tziva Hashem Moshe. Right? What do you mean? Kasher tziva Hashem Moshe. Like Hashem commanded Moshe. That's what Aaron did. Aaron did like Hashem commanded Moshe. So what's pshat, chevra? Pshat is as follows. It made absolutely no sense for Aaron to save food for all future generations. Even if it was stam food. Even if it was stam food, what's it going to happen to it? It's surely going to spoil. It's not going to last. It's going to stink up the place. It's going to spoil down to be Nifza Mechil's Kelev is an understatement, right? As we all know by the mon, you couldn't even take the mon and leave it overnight or it's going to spoil. Right? You couldn't even leave the mon overnight. So does it make any sense for Aaron to put away some mon for future generation? Absolutely not. So it has to be the prerequisite. Only because Kasher Tziva Hashem Moshe. Only because it's a Tzivoy Hashem. Only because it's Zvar Hashem. Vaynicheo Aaron Fneidus. Was Aaron willing to do it? We have to believe in again that same Yisod. That the emes is in all of our lenetit in senes, tzoin tzoin. The emes is all that we do and all that we are, and all the capabilities to do anything in this world is only because it's al pi Hashem. Only because it's Dvar Hashem. That Hashem allows us to wake up in the morning. That Hashem gives us the ability to see, and to speak, and to hear, and to think, to live, to have beautiful families. We have to recognize, we have to realize, that's all Dvar Hashem, that's all Pi Hashem, Yichya Adam. That's the lesson of the Tzantzenes. That's the lesson. And therefore it's Kashri Tziv Hashem, first and foremost, Vayinicheu. Happens to be the Gematria of Tzantzenes is 680, exactly Bris Chaim, a Bris of life. The Bris of life is to recognize and realize Hashem does everything for us. And that's the mon. And by the way, and I'm sure some of you were thinking about this earlier in this year, when we spoke about Laman and Tzenu, that the mon was in the Soyon for Klal Yisrael. And Lo Nin the Torah Olil Eloch Iman. How's more famously than the Kliyak or the Ramban say that the Soyon of the mon was? What was the test of the mon? The mon, this incredible bracha. This incredible bracha of mon. How's that a test, the trial and tribulation? The Ramban says it was a test in Amunah. It's not easy to go to sleep at night with an empty refrigerator, not knowing where your food's going to come from tomorrow, and having to trust the Rabbanu Shalom that it's going to be there. Tremendous Amun Bitachon was the man. And that's the Yisoid of the Tzantzenes Hashem Rai. That's the Yisoid of the man. That is the foundation of Kabbalah Satorah, Lo Nitna Torah, Ela Lo Echleban. It's that level of Amun Bitachon that will allow our commitment to Torah mitzvahs. That's the foundation. Chevru have to strengthen. We don't talk about it enough. Or maybe here we do. But in yeshivas and our learning, we're learning whatever mesechta we're learning, what halachos we're learning. And what we have to talk about amunah. We have to build our amunah. That's the foundation of everything. That's why we'll be mekabel the Torah. In Chevra, we all know there are two very famous Gemaras that are extremely, extremely shver. One Gemara says, Kasha Mizonos Kekriyas Yamsuf. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The sustenance of a person is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. And one Gemara says, Kasha Zivugim Kekriyas Yamsuf. Gemara in Sota, Daf Bezim and Aleph, right? That Zivugim, to have a Shidduch, to have a husband and wife be brought together, is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. And on the surface, both of these Gemaras are a big pella. First of all, what does it mean something's kasha to the Rabbanu Shalom? Something's difficult to the Rabbanu Shalom? Nothing's difficult today, Vishner. Kadosh Baruch Hu's ain soif. Kadosh Baruch Hu could do anything at any moment. What it means kasha? It's difficult. And what are these comparisons? Mezoina is in Divugim to Kriyas Yamzev. Like, really? Really, Chevra? So before I move on and share your side, I want to just repeat something. I had the schus to tell this over. Lel Shabbos Kodesh. But the Suda, the most heiliga Suda in the world. The only place I try to eat Suda, Lel Shabbos Kodesh is Shalayim. I wish I could eat there every single week. But Rav Yol Rakovsky and his Rebbetzin, the chevra that's been by Rav Yol, understand exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't been by Rav Yol, so I feel bad for you. You never had a Lel Shabbos Suda yet. I suggest you get on the plane. If you get on the plane now, it's too late. Right? Now it's too late. Hashem Yerachim. So you already missed this Shabbos. For next Shabbos, you should. If you've never been per Rav Yol for a Lel Shabbos Suda, it's incumbent upon you to get on for next Friday night. It's, I mean, I don't know what you're doing. You don't need Shem Yerachim and Yineshama. What a beautiful Zehelig Suda. What a great Chevra. It was made on Haba. So Rav Yol's son and new daughter-in-law, his son Petachia, got married. It was Sunday of Chayetzara this past year. Petachia has a story. I can't tell over the details, but when you go next Lel Shabbos and you meet Petachia, so ask him about the story of how he got to Uma, not this Rosh Hashanah, last Rosh Hashanah, He got to Uman and back to Yisrael on an expired passport. Okay? You think it's not possible? He did it. And there's more details to the story, but Lamaisa, like crazy, crazy stuff. Anyways. So Pitachia had the Chasan and Kala to share with them a Torah. Last week was Kriyas Yamsuf. So before we give a shot for tonight, just one for each and every one, for the few married guys we have here, mamash, don't ever forget this already, you could implement this, and for the chevra that's not yet, but bekarav b'shatoy with the right person, the right time, you remember this Torah. This is a Torah I this chus to say over came up with for my own ofrah. It's going to be 19 years ago. Gimel Adar Sheni, we have tell my wife, so we don't have to celebrate anniversaries too often because it's Adar Sheni. This year we have Adar Sheni, so we gotta celebrate this year. Mir Hashem. Ah. So I always thought Pshat Kasher, just Kasher the Vugim Kriyas Yamsuf. What does that mean? I always thought Pshat was as follows. Because again, what's difficult to Akash Baruch and what's the connection? Don't ever forget this. You ready? Daniel, it's worth coming tonight just to remember this. Your wife will thank me one day if you remember and live by this Torah. Okay? So you know what was by Kriyas Yamsuf? Obviously nothing's difficult for Hashem. You know what was difficult by Kriyas Yamsuf? Was that you had over 2 million Jews running away from the Mitzrayim who were chasing after them, stuck at a sea, and suddenly the sea opens up. Imagine what type of pandemonium should have been at that moment. A few years ago, Chevra remembers, a few years ago at the local Walmart, if you remember this, on Black Friday, the morning after Thanksgiving, when they have crazy sales, so there are like thousands of people, hundreds of people at least, I don't know, staying up all night to be let into the store to get like a TV for a few $100 cheaper. People are mishugans. And Black Friday, a few years ago, they opened up the doors, and mamash, there was an individual trampled to death. Said, it's crazy, but it was Emes. Trampled to death. So imagine what would have been 2 million people. The sea opens up. By the way, you want to feel? I took my kids today. The kids are in Ben Azman. So we went today to the New York Aquarium. It was raining, but they have some inside exhibits. We figured it'll be quiet. They're good. They just opened up this new shark exhibit. It's incredible. It's really incredible. But one place where you walk in, you're surrounded by mayim. Like both sides and above you, like totally. And the sharks are swimming right above you. It's crazy. But mamish, my children said, oh, this is Kriyas Yamsuf. You're by a basha b'soy chayam. It's mamish by a basha b'soy chayam. It was very cool. Very incredible. Even my little Uriel, 4 years old, said, we went Kriyas Yamsuf today. That's what he said later in the day. Baruch Hashem. So imagine seeing 2 million Jews. Imagine the pushing that should have been, the shoving that should have been, the trampling, running away. Do we find any medrash like this? Do we find that one person was killed? Of course not. You know why? You know how? When you care about someone else just as much, if not more than you care about yourself, why would you ever trample him? I want you to live. I want you to be b'simcha just as much as I want myself to be. I can't trample you for me. I want you to get past. I want you to get through just as much as I do. For many people, inherently, that's kosher because we're born very selfishly. So immediately, with Eretz Yisrael, we have to learn Derech Eretz Kodmo LaTorah. To care about someone else as much as you care about yourself. And that's how all Klal Yisrael got through the Yamsuf. B'simcha, b'racha, b'ahava. That was what was kosher. By Zivugim, you have two individuals from two different backgrounds, two different sets of aspirations and goals, to come together as one, and to be mevatel, to nullify yourself, and care about your wife more than you care about yourself, to be willing to give to her, even sacrifice when it's hard, and when you'd rather be doing something else, that might be kosher, but that's the avoid of what it is to be in Zivugim. That's kosher Zivugim Kriyas Yamsuf, don't ever forget it. To be completely nullify yourself for another person. And to give of yourself. Be moser nefesh yourself. And it was back to our Inyan. Maybe we could say something else I saw from Relabel as well. Hilga Relabel Eger. in Torah's MS. I gotta thank, telling all this Torah from Leib, I have to thank you, Daria Mezel. He got me the set a few years ago. I had the schuss to give Shir in his apartment this past week. Gotta thank him for the set of Svarim. It changed my life. So Leibler says that by Kriyas Yamsuf, listen, Chevra, this is a tremendous Torah, ready? By Kriyas Yamsuf, we all know, it's a famous Medrash, that there was a Tanai, there was a condition for Maisa Bereshis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created water, and the Tev of water was going to be that it's going to be, that it's not going to split. But there was a Tanai, there was a condition that there's going to come a time when you're going to split. By Kriyas Yamsuf. It was already set from the Eibishter. Upper what? Why didn't it split so easily? Still needed the Emunah of Klal Yisrael to activate that which was already preordained and orchestrated from the Rabbi Nishalom. Indeed, an Achim and a Minadav to show with complete Emunah B'Tachlon, I'm jumping in. It was the Emunah of Klal Yisrael that created, ultimately, and activated Kriyas Yamsuf that was already set B'Teva from the Eibishter that's going to be. The kasha of Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't a split. That was already a Tanai. The kasha was that we'd show such strong emunah to activate the splitting. So too by Mezoinoisav and so too by Zivugim. By our Mezoinois, we all know that from our Shana already determined what our Mezoinois will be. But if we want to activate and gain the Parnassah we're supposed to have, we need to show tremendous emunah and bitachin in Hashem. And so too by Zivugim. Gemara Sota Daf Beis, the same Daf, says 40 days before Yitzir's flood, there's already Machris, Bas Ploni Laploni. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Meshadech Shiduchim. But we have to have the Emunah and Bitachon to activate that which is already preordained and there. The Kasha is on us. The Kasha is on us, Chevra. To show this level of Emunah, and this level of bitachon, then we'll have the most beautiful shiduchim, and then we'll have all the parnas in the world, and we'll have everything because Hashem's giving us everything. He's providing it's all the tzantzenes man. Hashem roi lo echzar. That's the moon of bitachon we all need, chevra. We have to know Hashem is by our side. We're never alone, and we're only the tzayin of the Rabbi Nishlam. You know, every time I'm here, Yisrael, it's Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter brings me there, and it's the most special. It's the chusim I have. But over the past 6 years, there's been a void in my heart every time I go to Eretz Yisrael. Especially when I'm walking near the Mir Yeshiva and I pass by my Rebbe's Zecher Tzadik Hashem Racha's home. And every Erev Shabbos, it's not the same as it used to be. Because it used to be every time I'm at Eretz Yisrael, Erev Shabbos is the highlight of my trip, the highlight of my life. To be able to sit by my Rebbe, Rav Nosson Tzvi Zatzal, and hear Torah from my Rebbe. And go to the Shmuz Erev Shabbos. And then to go and meet with the Rebbe and talk and gain the greatest insight into life and be inspired in the greatest of ways of the most special person in the world that I've ever had the schuss to have a relationship with, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. And every time I'm in Eretz Yisrael, since his Petira, I mamish feel a void in my life that I don't have the schuss to go, I don't have the schuss to bring Talmidim to him anymore. I feel bad for my Talmidim, they don't have the schuss to meet him. A walking Malach, a walking Tzaddik, Mr. Snev, there are no words. There are no words. I couldn't even this trip be near, and I wanted to go to hear some shmuzes of other Tzaddikim on Erev Shabbos this year, and I said, I can't even go near there. Just too hard. Rav Nosson Tzvi embodied this emunah bitachon, even with all the difficulties that he had in his life, suffering from Parkinson's in a very, very real way. But he lived with Hashem Ra'i, with the Simchas HaChayim She'ein Kamo. And I've said this over before, I just want to end with this story. And I'm sure I've said it at this table, I'm sure you've heard it from me. But I'll never forget it. I play it in my mind, listening to him say it. At least every single week. It was one of those stories that made such a roshim in my heart. He told us once, it was at an Erev Shabbos Shmuz, he told us that an almana came from a widow who was married to her husband for over 50 years, and her husband passed away. And she came to the Rosh Hashiva, mamash crying, how lonely she is. How lonely she felt without her husband. And he gave her all types of chizuk. But then he looked at her and said, I want you to do something. When you leave here, I want you to go buy yourself a little pad, like a little homework pad. And have with you a pen always. And anytime something in your life happens, and you feel it's the Eibishter in your life, in your life, in your children's life, write it down in the pad. And anytime you start to feel a little bit lonely, take out that pad and start reading it back to yourself. And know that you're never alone. Because the Eibishter is always by your side. Chavri, each and every one of us needs to know. The Eibishter is always by our side. The Eibishter is always providing for us. He's always taking care of us. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes the sheep don't know why it's time to go in, and it's not time to drink more, and it's not time. But we're just the sheep of the Eibishter. Hashem ro'i lo yachzer. We're lacking nothing. And with that emunah bitachon, then I'm ready to be mekabel Torah, ba'ava, b'yira, b'simcha, b'bracha. So Mirz Hashem, we should be zayich, each and every one of us. That even though we don't have the mon, but that remez, the soid of sentenis mon, that's supposed to be l'mishmeres l'dor ha'seichem for all generations, even if we don't have basic English, it's for us as well to remember. To live with the Rebbeinu Shem by his side. Until again he's Megal himself with Beis HaMikdash, with Mashiach Zedkenu, b'mheira b'yameinu, b'karav mamish.